Amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome again this morning, joining us to worship. If you're able to do so, please remain standing as we do the corporate prayer and also reading of His Word. So we may spend a couple seconds or so to reflecting your love to Christ through your heart quietly. Okay, let's do that. Heavenly Father, when we come into your presence, we could sing of your love forever, so that we may praise you and let the earth hear your voice and the people rejoice in your name. May we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Give him the praises for the great things that he has done. We are unworthy of acceptance of such perfect love. Permit us to witness the glory of your perfections, and your throne sits on high. All creation bow down in front of you, praise you that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Father, we confess that honoring you through our work is not always at the head of our minds, as we strive for worldly matters and forget that you reign over all of us, our nations, our lives. In the spaces of our hearts that embrace envy, worldly perceptions, and selfless aspirations, we prayfully ask for forgiveness of our inequities and the disobedience in knowing Christ. We pray you will grant us room for humility and thanksgiving. We ask that your mighty power, you enable us in caring for our brothers and sisters in the congregations who are suffering physically and emotionally from family issues, transitioning in career, and struggling spiritually. May you grant them with your love, trust in you, wisdom and healing power, so that we may see the delights of your love and be joyful, knowing that you will never leave us. We also would like to pray 1,000+ attendees at the Quest for Life retreat this weekend. May your Holy Spirit dwell in the heart of each attendee with the Christ-seeking mind to experience the living gospel with joy and proclaim the lordships of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for protections and safety for the people who travel during the Memorial Day this weekend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your encouragement and guidance in our life, so that we may hear your voice through prayers, worship, and fellowship with the saints. We continue to strive for your will, one by one, until you call us home. And we pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3-8. Is on the thanksgiving and prayer. Here's a reading of his word. We always thank God for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing. It also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has been known to us your love in the Spirit," end quotes. Thank you so much for standing for so long. Please seat it. Good morning. Good morning again. Most of you know me as Uncle David, or my full name is David Yun. And I'm one of the servants at this church. Basically, I have been very busy in the finance ministry. That's why you don't see me that much in the English Century. But all in all, just as God's grace. As we have read this morning, to summarize the points that we have so far is the thanksgiving, right? Prayer and the fruitfulness of the gospel. Many of you know that we became grandparents back on November 18, 2022. We thank the Lord, truly we thank the Lord for this amazing gift during the Thanksgiving holiday. And the beautiful creation, and humbly thank Him for the love. And the birth truly reflects on the perfect creation, the faith, the love, and the hope to encompass the great passion of love from our Lord Jesus Christ. We are very grateful in our family for that. So please allow me to introduce the book of Colossians if this is the first time you know reading this Bible or the scripture. The Colossian book is basically written by Apostle Paul and Timothy. So again, it is possible that Timothy was serving Paul as the secretary at that time. So the book Colossians points out that Christ the Lord over all of the creation, right? Christ had given us redemption for his people so that we may receive the gospel. In these four chapters, only these four chapters, Paul encouraged the Colossians to strive for what maturity in Christ by battling the sins that they face daily, so pursuing the holiness through the Lord Jesus Christ, and to learn to live as Christ-like Christians. So that's the background, the overall, the book of Colossians, right? If you look at this verse-wise, why we always thank God, as we always say that, we thank God for whatever you want to say, but yet, look at this. The Sunday sermon series has been going through the message of our relationship to God. Consecrated bodies like us and a renewed mind that we're looking for. So last Sunday, Interim Minister Andrew preached on John 21 on the topic of living in between. So Jesus desires to work in us through us, right? He wants us to grow and partner with him with a renewed mind. So this morning, I would like to continue on this topic by connecting through the thanksgiving or the thankfulness and through prayer. So the book Colossians begins us together by giving thanks to the Lord for the richness of the living gospel, and bearing his fruit through praises. Right. It is believed that Apostle Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. So it was understandable that they faced many, many challenges because of the fallen world at that time. This six short, powerful, and rich verses with the renewed message of the gospel lead us to a significance of the Christian faith. Right, the significance of Christian faith because of these six verses, six books. But yet, Paul thanks God, the Colossians, that their true meaning of expression in gospel, which is faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. Okay, let me explain a little further on this. Faith is mentioned by Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 5, Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And love is mentioned by Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And going to the hope. Hope is mentioned by Apostle Peter in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to reborn," right, to born again, "to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, never die, right? Undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you and I, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So this is clearly stating the gospel and the salvation. In this passage, faith and love are based on hope. Again, faith and love are based on hope, which bring us, knowing hope will bring us confidence in knowing Christ, who is with us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 said, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory." It is because heaven is prepared for you and me. No earthly ruler or demonic power can rob believers of the reality of this hope, right? Nothing can conquer that. So we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul also mentioned this three gospel virtue in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. And he said, "So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of this is love." Remember, Jesus is love. So these three virtues are also called the gospel fruit when the gospel is at work in the hearts of believers like us. It produces what? People to practice faith, hope, and love automatically. So gospel fruit looks outward and focus on Christ, right? Seeking his righteousness, you might recall the Young Adult Fellowship Group, the YAF, had a saying a couple years ago. It said, "Gospel root for gospel fruit." Recall that, right? Gospel root for gospel fruit. So this is remind us that the root of the Christian faith is the gospel, right? We see the gospel in this six verses we just read. So due to time limitations, I will focus on verse 3 only, one verse. And to elaborate later on the gospel fruit, later on the sermons. But overall, this reminds us that thanking and praying to the Lord cannot disassociate the importance of faith, love, and hope. So please allow me to present three important points in verse 3. Right? Give thanks to the Lord. The importance of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And why do we pray for you? This is all in verse 3. Right? Church, today's sermon's title is on the bonafide thanksgiving. Why is so bonafide or genuine? God's message will lead us to an understanding of knowing Christ and the privilege of connecting with him because of what? His grace. Right? So look, let us look at the first point. Give thanks to the Lord. Let's look at verse 3 again. We always thank God. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. The first four words, "we always thank God," is a distinctive characteristic of the Christian life. Why is it distinctive? Let us connect with verse 12, where Paul prayed for the believers in the city of Colossae, the city, the present city called the Hanas in Turkey, right? In verse 12 said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saint in light. This is what? This is the promise that God will forgive sin and whose hearts are turned toward him, turned toward Christ through his only begotten Son, so that we inherit what God has promised to his people, the Jews and the Gentiles at that time, through the redemption of his Son, that the inheritance, a life-changing recovery of the gospel, and to be renewed, in the spirit of our minds, that to be what? Righteous and be holy in the Lord. So Apostle Paul reiterates being thankful, right, in verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and also by my heart too, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. And be thankful. So let's do the second important point. The importance of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the second point that I would like to stress. So please note that in verse 3 stresses the importance of the lordship of Jesus Christ, because it says, we always thank God, which we have talked about that, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now, what does lordship mean, right? Why are we so concerned with the lordship in this prayer? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, the verses declare that the divinity of gospel, the scripture said what? May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, Lord Jesus Christ himself, God our Father, who love us by his grace, by only his grace, gave us the eternal encouragement and good hope, and encourage our hearts to strengthen you in every good deed and word. That is powerful, very powerful of encouragement. And Oxford Dictionary defines lordship as supreme power of rule, But the lordship of Jesus Christ bring us all together by his grace. So we receive the faith that enable us to believe, right? The faith bring us in front of Christ and believe in him. Because the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the following example of the seven keys of the lordship, which I would like to share with you, show the clarity of the living authorities, The first one. Christ is the Lord over all because what? He is God. In Psalm 103, verse 19, it said, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So Jesus is God, right? So he has a close relationship with the Father. He is the Son, and he is also the agent of God, the mediator, right? So he rules over all and offer his the privilege of embracing his rule. Second point, Christ is the Lord because of his obedience to the Father. So he has achieved the final victory over the sin and death through his resurrections and ascensions. The third point, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, which has been given by whom? By the Heavenly Father. So we are, number four, we are to follow Christ with obedience in all things. What's that mean, right? Our obedience to the Lord is the offering of gratitude, which we have meditated on this morning, to God. To whom? To God. Because we have been saved by grace through faith. And the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart, in our hearts. So that lead us to Christ with the perfection of godly characters. And this leads to what? The gospel. The gospel. So I remind you that, brother and sister, that it is Christ's perfect obedience, not our obedience, but Christ's obedience that has obtained for us forgiveness of our sins and all the benefits of the salvation. The benefit of the salvation. So number five, we are to serve Christ. We are to serve Christ. Why are we serving Christ? We are to serve Christ at all times with a truthful heart. With a truthful heart. Why are we doing that? Look at this. In serving Christ, he is worthy. He is worthy of all services and God's command for us to serve him. You look at Romans chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It said, well, the passage clearly states that the living sacrifice in the fallen Christ, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. That's very challenging, right? Very challenging. But we be transformed by the renewal of our mind, your mind and my mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. That is the words from the Lord. Number six, the means of grace bring and equip us to grow and develop a closer relationship with Jesus Christ through knowing his word, knowing his scriptures, prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the fellowship with other saints, fellowship with all the brothers and sisters that you know. Remember in Hebrews verse, chapter 10, verse 10 said what? It reminds us that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. So the last point is that Christ give distinctive authority to all of us through the walk of life with him. It means that we have to walk with him every single day. So human authority is very limited because God is almighty with his lordship. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are one body in Christ that we together to praise and glorify our Lord. In verse 3, remind us that when we pray, what? We thank God. In him and his son, right? In him and his son. Apostle Paul's message repeatedly informs us that the truths about Jesus, a Jewish man who had lived, died, and risen from the dead about 30 years earlier in Jerusalem, but some 600 miles to the southeast of Colossae. So he is the Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Son of God. Church, let me apply some of my experience and calling from the Lord. So it has been a long journey for our family. Thanks the Lord that in the family, Auntie Karina and I have been married plus 35 years. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we have been our Thanksgiving, our tribulation through our lives, disagreements and everything like that. But we committed ourselves to following Christ through what? Through prayers. Through prayers. So this commitment did not take place overnight. Did not take place. It took a long time. Right? It took a while because what? Knowing who is Jesus Christ and how to be truthful in walking with him is important. Regardless of the situation, we encounter the fallen world every single day and learn through his messages and grace that he has authority over all of us in our family too. Life was like a bell-shaped curve with unpredictable results. I was ill and visited the emergency room 4 times, challenged by 3 times of company's RIF, which is called reduction in force, Karina's health issue, children's well-being, and unexpected day-to-day issues. We are all blessed by his grace, truly by his grace, his love, and perfect guidance. He is in control, truly he is in control, and has authority over all things. Often, I question when will God answer my prayers. Wholeheartedly, God constantly informed me that He is with us throughout the whole journey. Trusting the Lord with patience and thankfulness. His word in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, constantly whispered in my ears. And it said, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." All things. For those who are called according to His purpose, not my purpose, God's purpose. God's purpose. So God also said to us that we must do away with or tear down our own old way of life. Right? Look at Colossians, book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, what it said. Put on the new self, the self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and love are the basis of hope. And the new life in proclaiming Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. Fundamentally, family is led by faith. Family is led by faith through prayers and thanksgiving. It is the lifeline in knowing God. Okay? So let's look at the last point. The third one. Why do we pray for you? Prayers. Again, back to verse 3. It said, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. When we pray for you. Apostle Paul's thankfulness to the Colossians is quite remarkable in that the letter was read in Philemon's house as they gathered to hear the word and prayer. You can read that more in Acts, book of Acts, chapter 21 to 28, right? The significance of this reading is that it is read to the Gentiles who were often seen as pagans and did not know the true God. And many Jews look such a pride, where they took the pride of themselves in the culture, in the religion's heritage, that they consider Gentiles what? Unclean and the uncircumcisions. So Paul prayed and gave thanks to the Lord because the prayer had been heard of the faith in Jesus Christ. Because the prayer had been heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, the power of prayer also answered the reading of His word to the Gentiles and to all of us. Why did Paul say, when we pray for you? Why did he say that? He said that the prayers apply to all people, all of us, not Gentiles, Jewish, but everyone, friends, families, right? Friends and family. So God wants to hear us and fellowship with Him. Many times we all ask you, why don't we fellowship together? That's the reason why God is calling us to do so. I believe many of you might encounter hesitations to pray, either privately or corporately. It took me a long time to know how to pray and pray with ease, knowing God is with you. So allow me to share the following case with you on the power of prayer, the power of prayer. Back in 2018, when I experienced the downturn of the economy and the uncertainty of the workforce reduction, Karina and I were extremely concerned about our day-to-day living, right? We had to pay for insurance, paying for the expenses, the ability to provide health care for the family. I asked why it happened to us. I began to spend time searching for answers through prayers and fellowship with church members. We adjusted our style of living, downgraded my profession's qualification to be employed temporarily. Many people pray for us. Many people pray for us. And it was the time to connect and develop a closer relationship with Him. It took more than 10 months to resume normalcy. So as I reflect on the challenges, both of us realize what? God had been with us all along through tears and struggles. So the comfort is there because what? The prayers and sharing the burden with church members. That's why we need fellowship. We learn through prayers that he was and still is in control at all times. God wants us to continue solving the problems, but ask him to lead and be with him. Right? We learn that all things are in God's time, and his grace is sufficient throughout the journey of knowing him. So prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. It is a direct communication with him, right? Like talking to your parents, your spouse. But more importantly, he is the Lord. The point is that when you pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must do that because of the lordship. This is to acknowledge the lordship mentioned earlier, because Jesus prayed for himself and others, and he prayed to commune with the Father, as in Book of John, chapter 17, is related to the high priestly prayer. He not only prays in glorifying the Father, but he also prayed for his disciples. So prayer also is a way to strengthen our relationship with God, right? Prayer is a connection with God. So if you're uncomfortable with praying or do not know how to pray, the Lord's Prayer is a good starting point, where Jesus Christ taught his disciples and us too. The prayer can be found in Book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 2 to 4, and Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Christian faith starts with prayer and connecting with Christ to develop a deeper relationship with him. The only way you can develop with Christ, our Lord, is through prayer. Right? It is important to pray by following ACTS acts that we have been doing that in a Christian faith, which is A stand for adoration. Means to worship, glorify, and exalt God. Confession, let us see. Means that we confess our sins. We agree with God that we are wrong and that we have sinned against him. God forgive us and restore us our fellowship in him. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Thanksgiving, T, the letter T, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, say what? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Remember that God is here to listen to us. And the supplication referred to what? To prayer for ours and others' deeds, right? A supplication is a request or petition. So Paul encouraged us to make supplication for all the saints in Book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, which means that to pray diligently for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So you pray for them. You pray for your fellow brothers and sisters when they ask and pray for them. Do not say, I will pray for you and not doing it. You have to do it diligently, faithfully. So church, I encourage you to pray. Really, I encourage you to pray. Try. It takes some time, but you will really see what's going on. God welcome us to talk to him with our hearts, mind, and strength, and express ourselves with a truthful heart. As we grow in love with Jesus Christ, we will naturally desire to talk to him more, Think of this way. When you were dating, you always send a love letter to your girlfriends or boyfriends, right? You adore so much about your future spouse. But in here, more than that, you adore our Lord Jesus Christ. The love is there. It is amazing that if you start doing that, he will connect with you. So a lack of prayer demonstrates a lack of faith and trusting God's word. God keeps his promises and blesses us abundantly with his love and with his will. So remember that when Apostle Paul was in jail, what did he do? He prayed to the Lord and witnessed the good news while he was in prison to all nations, because God promised what? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It is the gospel that draw us together in him. It is the gospel bring all us together. So I would like to conclude this morning's message, thanksgiving through prayer and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, bring us the gospel. Faith and love are based on hope. Giving thanks to the Father, he grant us to share his perfect inheritance of the saints in his kingdom with hope and wisdom, and pray and form a close relationship with God. I assure you, whenever you pray, proclaiming him as the Lord and Savior, King of Kings, your heart and your mind will be much comforting and peaceful. I guarantee you that's the God's message. Finally, here's a quote from Pastor Timothy Keller. He said, basically, the gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dare and hope. End quote. Let us pray. Dear Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, may you guide us in our daily life by not conforming to the world, but by being transformed by renewing our minds, because you will always good, pleasing and perfect. May you teach us about worshiping you through prayers. Grant us to proclaim you as our Lord and Savior. Show us how to be like you through your living word. We give thanks for allowing us to hear your words and continue to pray you, because you are worthy of praise. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Would you all rise with us as we sing, "To God be the glory."